The following presentation is brought to you in color. Coming to you from an undisclosed location, thousands of fathoms beneath the sea, this is the Deep Dive Podcast.
Plane in the sun!
Get below! Look out! Get below! Dive the boat! Dive the boat!
Take it down 150 feet, steer course 090.
Continue to dive.
The release of nuclear weapons has been authorized. This is not a drill.
Hello and welcome once again to the Deep Dive Podcast, the only podcast that really wants to be your friend. My name is Tom, and with me yet again is my wonderful co-host slash hostage...
Manda, what?
Oh, sorry, nothing. Well, here we are. We made it to episode number 3.
Yeah, we did.
And I have to say it feels pretty good.
It does feel good.
Yeah.
I've accomplished something.
The money should start rolling in any day now. Or, you know...
If we had sponsors.
Would be a thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hashtag sponsor us.
It's a hard row. This is our Thanksgiving turkey show, where Manda and I discuss our favorite movie turkeys. And these are bad movies, just bad movies that we love anyway.
Yeah, of course.
But before we get started, I want to thank everybody who's been listening. We've gotten some amazing feedback, but we're going to keep doing the podcast anyway. So there.
Yeah.
So, thanks again. So, speaking of thanks, Thanksgiving. It's close at hand.
It is.
So, here, deep under the ocean depths in the bathysphere, we are having Thanksgiving here, which is kind of a bummer because we're not with our families and stuff. But we're going to have a good time nonetheless. And I have the menu here for our Thanksgiving dinner. Let's see what we got here. Irradiated smoked turkey with thermostabilized yams and rehydrated cornbread dressing, mashed potato flakes, and pumpkin pie tubes for dessert. Sounds pretty good.
None of that sounds appetizing.
Well, what are we going to do, right?
Okay.
Okay, so let's... If you were not trapped in this submersible vehicle, what would you normally do on Thanksgiving?
My little brother and I would fight over who gets to eat my mom's mashed potatoes first.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a thing. My mom makes really amazing mashed potatoes, and every single year she puts like the butter on top and it gets all melty before it gets to the table. And every year my little brother and I, we try and get the first scoop of it.
Oh, to get that little pool of butter from the top?
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But those mashed potatoes, I literally would eat them with anything. Eggs,
so,
pizza.
Is there anything like in them that makes them special or...
Potatoes.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, anything else?
Well, potatoes.
Okay.
Oh, garlic.
Garlic.
And
okay.
Parmesan cheese.
See, now we're getting
Now
somewhere.
We're getting there. Yeah, and milk and cream.
Yeah, okay.
And a bunch of other things.
Right, bunch of other
Mom's
things.
Mom's love.
Oh.
Yeah. Love you, Mom.
Oh, boy. Does she listen to this?
What? No.
No, okay.
She doesn't even know I'm down here.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So, I guess,
What about you?
Well, here's the thing. Back when I was an orphan in the mountains of West Virginia, we had a tradition. We ate something called terskunkist.
What?
Yeah. It was a turkey stuffed with a skunk that was stuffed with locusts. and it was, if you had this and it was considered good luck if you got the scent gland. So, yeah.
Whole country road, take
yeah,
me home.
Yeah. No, but like really, it was just the usual stuff.
Oh yeah, totally
turkey,
usual.
Turkey, stuffing.
Oh man.
Politics, you know.
Your uncle passed out on the couch after he ate a lot and then argue with you about your politics.
Yeah. Or watching football, which is probably the same thing for me anyway.
Yeah.
You know, football. That's not my thing. I'd just sneak out of the living room and go get more pie.
Oh, pie.
Yeah.
I miss pie.
You miss pie?
I miss pie.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't had a good apple pie since I went to McDonald's.
Yeah, so you Anyways. Never had a good apple
yeah,
pie.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Never mind then. Yeah.
Fine. Now, I understand that you have brought with you some turkey trivia questions.
Oh, I have.
I want to hear these. I'm really interested in what you've come up with for some turkey trivia.
Well, I tried to stump you.
Okay.
Yeah, I tried to stump you. So, what are turkey chicks, so baby turkeys, called?
Baby turkeys?
Yeah. I bet they're so cute.
Little a-holes?
No. They're called pults or turkey links.
Pults?
Pults.
Pults?
Yeah, I guess like poultry, but pults. If you're too lazy to say poultry.
So, like totes. Pults.
Exactly.
Like totes, my goats, or whoever says that is an
pults
awful person.
Pults, my poultry.
Yeah, exactly.
Pults, my chickens.
But I like turkey lings.
Turkey lings is cute, right?
It sounds like minions.
Exactly. It's a little bit offensive.
Well, I don't know, maybe the turkeys.
Oh, man.
Like, who cares?
Yeah, turkeys can be really wild.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah. All right, let me give you another one.
Yeah.
You know that, like, red sort of wobbly flesh that kind of hangs over their beak and kind of sometimes in their eye? Mm-hmm. What is that called?
Let's see. I know that the thing underneath the beak is the wattle.
That is true.
But I don't. What is that? What is the top thing called?
A snood.
I don't know what snood with you.
It's the first one.
I know.
We had to get a couple in.
I know. A snood.
A snood.
That's
right.
Who named this? Did you somebody look at a turkey and go snood?
Benjamin Franklin, I think.
Probably. You know what? Because he wanted the...
Exactly.
Yeah.
He wanted our national bird to be at the... I mean, it makes sense, right?
But he was drunk at the time, I'm
You
sure.
know what I'm thinking? Since we're actually having a turkey episode, we're basically pardoning these turkey movies.
That's a good idea, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We're pardoning them so nobody can basically feast on them and... Yeah.
So here's a trivia question for you that...
Oh, yeah.
Mentioning the pardoning of the turkeys. He was the first president to do that.
Ooh, I'm going to say Eisenhower.
Much later, it's amazing, but much later than that.
Really?
Ronald Reagan.
No.
Yes, Ronald Reagan.
We're talking like 80s?
We're talking 80s.
Oh, no kidding. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's when it started. Yep, in the 80s.
I kind of figured it was like a really long
I know. You would think it would be a tradition. A long, but no, it's fairly recent, like 30 years or so.
Huh.
You know.
Huh.
Weird, but.
Well, thank
But here's
you,
the thing. Mr. Turkeys Reagan? Don't deserve to be pardoned, as far as I'm concerned. But
wow.
Go ahead.
Okay. We'll have to get back to that.
Yeah.
So, speaking of pardoning turkeys,
yes.
There are some that don't get pardoned and actually end up on our dinner tables.
Yes.
How many do you think per year? And this could be a big number, but like, just give me a number. How many do you think per year turkeys are killed?
Killed for Thanksgiving?
Right. That offer up themselves as tribute to our bellies.
All right. So you got to figure that roughly you're talking about 300 million Americans.
Sure.
So divide that by maybe families of maybe 10.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about 30 million. I'd probably go with around 30 million.
30 million. Well, that's close, actually. Google says about 45.
Not enough. Killed them all because they're jerks.
Wow.
Yes.
We need to get to the heart of this. What turkey hurt you?
You know what? I drive here around in New England, mm-hmm. where we usually are when we're not underneath the sea. And every Thanksgiving, I nearly run over about 10,000 turkeys when I'm driving around. Wild turkeys are just roaming around like packs of gangs. It's terrible. It's terrible. And they're jerks. They attack people. I have proof. I have actual proof. So I did some research. And on the official Massachusetts state government website, mass.gov, all right,
oh boy.
There is actually a section that says, don't let turkeys intimidate you, and how to deal with aggressive wild turkeys. And I'm going to read, this is actually true. I'm reading this verbatim.
No way.
Yeah, listen to this. Wild turkeys that become accustomed to humans and human-associated foods, like birdseed, are likely to lose their fear of people and can cause damage or attempt to dominate people. It's
human
like they're wearing leather collars or something. I don't understand. Dominate? Once bold behavior is established, it can be very difficult to change. Here's my favorite part. Don't hesitate to scare or threaten a bold, aggressive turkey with loud noises, swatting with a broom, or water sprayed from a hose.
Okay.
Turkeys that repeatedly challenge, like a turkey's going to challenge me to what, chess? or attack people may ultimately have to be destroyed.
Ooh.
Keep turkeys wild to avoid these consequences. And this is real.
So don't eat them?
No, eat them.
Eat them.
Eat them, but take pleasure in eating them.
Oh, I see.
Don't feel bad about eating them because they're jerks.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay?
I mean, usually I let them have the right of way because, you know, Massachusetts, that's a thing.
Well, no.
And
yeah.
I let them walk in front of my Jeep.
But they're ill-mannered.
Yeah, that's true.
They seriously are.
They used to have one at the MSPCA who was really big. And he used to hang out in his little turkey hole.
His turkey hole?
That sounds like an insult. Well,
shut your turkey hole.
Yeah, well, hey, this is PG. Keep it PG.
All right, then.
Although, you know, this one time my mom asked me to actually prep the turkey for Thanksgiving. I think it was like 14 or whatever. Do you know what they do with the stuff that they don't let you eat?
Like the giblets?
They put it inside.
Yeah, they do. You use it to make stock or something. Yeah, you can, like, you know, use it to make turkey soup.
What's wrong with you?
Like the neck. They take the neck.
Oh. Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah. No. Neck. It's the best part.
Well, I'm never going to cook turkey again. Thank you, Swanson, for feeding me on Thanksgiving.
You know. Hey, and don't forget, kids, the Butterball Hotline is available to you
at any time.
So call them.
I can't believe
if you're having a problem. Because, you know, you need to cook the stuffing separately. You don't cook it in the bird because you're going to get salmonella. And you're not going to have a good time. All right, people? Important safety tip. This has been a PSA. From the Deep Dive Podcast. So, on to the fun. So, Mandy, you've got some interesting picks for your Thanksgiving turkeys.
I do. I'm actually really excited about this one. I tried to choose ones that I knew were kind of widely panned, shall we say. Panned, as in gravy? Pan gravy?
No.
Okay, I'm sorry. I tried hard with that
one.
Okay, fair enough. Okay. So, my first pick, right? I love this one. It is 2003's Timeline.
Oh, okay. Wait, you're serious.
Yes, I was. Okay. Wait. Based on the book.
Yes.
By the very lovely and talented Michael Crichton.
Yes, good book. Very good book. I really enjoyed it.
Yes, and you know he does that whole thing with dinosaurs, which I love.
What was that one again?
Yeah, it's called Jurassic Park.
Oh, yes.
Very good. Apparently, he really rooted a lot of his stuff in science, so I'm actually really anxious to read the book. I might give it a try. But anyways, this one, 2003... It is, of course, the time-traveling saga starring Billy Connolly, who is an absolute joy of a comedian. Oh, literally brings so much joy to my life. Love him. He's from Scotland. Has a pretty thick accent.
Yeah.
Paul Walker, who we, rest in peace, very, very miss. I know. Sadness. Love him.
That's good.
Also, Gerard Butler, who is also Scottish.
I forgot he was in that.
Yeah. But interestingly enough, he, the Scottish man, did not play the son of the other Scottish man. In fact, they chose Paul Walker, who is not Scottish, to play Billy Connolly's son.
And they wonder why it didn't do well.
Well, yeah. Apparently they had a budget of like $80 million, but it only made $43 at the box office.
Was that on craft services?
Ugh. Oh, ouch. But anyways. Yeah, I wasn't there during the creative process, so I can't really tell you why they didn't choose that, but it seems common sense to me. But interestingly enough, it has a lot of votes. We're talking like 56,000 votes on IMDb. But it only has a 5.6 out of 10. Wow. So it's a mediocre one. Metacritic gave it a very low 28.
I see.
Yeah. But anyways, you know why I love it?
Why?
Because it really fulfills that fantasy I've always had of being able to time travel. Being a history nerd and being someone who really just enjoys being lectured about history, like just throw your facts at me.
Okay.
The idea that I could sort of pretend that this exists and that I could go back to medieval France, who maybe I wouldn't choose France, let's say. But let's say I went there and I could actually interact and live amongst these people, knowing what I know now as a modern day human, blows my mind. So exciting.
But the smell.
Yeah, there was that smell. Yeah. I mean, we are talking like 1400, 1400, so.
Yeah.
Bathrooms. Oof, yeah. Sorry, Cole.
Whole hygiene thing would not be pleasant, I don't think.
No, you know, it's right after the plague, too, so. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, interestingly, I've actually found out a fun fact, speaking of the book, that most of the women characters inside, or in the book, rather, were actually cast as men in the movie. Weird, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Isn't that really weird?
I don't know why.
I need to explore that a little bit further, but I had to put away my sort of feminist attitude towards it and realize, okay, maybe they made that for a reason. I don't know. But you know who else is in it? The guy, David Yeeling. I think his name is David Yeeling? Something like that. He's in the Harry Potter movies. He's the werewolf guy.
Oh, David Thewlis.
There you go.
David Thewlis, yeah. He always makes a really great slimy guy.
He does, right?
Yeah, he seems that's his thing.
Yeah, he's really, it's like some people are really catered to playing that. I can't think of another character or another person or actor that is like that, but there's so many people that play evil or very not liked people very well.
Yeah.
And someone told me once that if you don't like someone's portrayal of something, they're doing their job pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, which is an interesting concept. But anyways, I love the movie. So essentially, quick little breakdown here if you haven't seen it. These archaeologists are on a dig site, and they are digging up ruins of an old French palace castle, you know, for historical purposes.
Yes.
To preserve. Makes sense,
sure.
Right? And there's this overarching company, which there usually is, that has more of a money mentality of, like, how can we make money? How can we make this all about us? And they've actually discovered some, like, amazing tool and machine to send people back to time to this specific place that they're at, except, like, 500 years later or earlier. So once the people who are working the site catch wind of this, they're like, hey, that's amazing. Except Billy Connolly, who's the dad and a professor, gets stuck there. They have to go rescue him. Yeah, it's pretty intense. And then that comes into play with, you know, medical things, and like going back there and coming forth causes some weird shift in your body and all this sort of fun stuff. But mean guy David Thewlis actually ends up, well, can I say spoiler? Yeah, it came out like 25 years ago. So he gets what he deserves. He dies. But basically, it also is kind of like a love story, right?
Okay.
So the ending part of it is, someone actually elects to stay back in that time, knowing that they had a choice to stay there or come home, be with their family, et cetera, but for love, chose to stay with somebody in the past.
So, like Outlander.
Love Outlander.
Oh, see?
Oh,
what did I just do?
My God.
Am I in trouble?
Okay.
I just mentioned Outlander.
Okay. So, first of all, the next episode is tonight, and I'm really excited about it. Get the Stars app if you don't, because you can watch it a little bit earlier. Fun fact. No, I really love Outlander because, again, this whole time travel thing is probably one of my biggest, like, if I had a dream, if I had three wishes from a genie, one of them would be for a time machine that I could use consistently, just constantly.
Okay.
And it'd be one of those things I think about sometimes, like, what if I came up with Thriller instead of Michael Jackson? Like, I went back in time and I just wrote Thriller. Would it be as good? Probably not.
Well.
But I've given this a lot of thought.
I can tell.
I really have, but I love this movie. I found this movie on Tubi. I love the Tubi app. There's so many free things on there.
Yeah.
And they have a huge catalog of movies that you would think would be, like, sort of B-movies, but they have a lot of good current stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This one in particular, I think, was the section that has ads. So I think I saw maybe two ads throughout the entire thing, but it was okay. Quick break, you know, and then go back to watching your movie. It was really good. I love that app, and I seriously recommend it. I think, like Netflix, they do have a rotation of their features, but
yeah.
I don't know if this one's going to be on there for much longer, but check it out if you can, because it's a great movie, even though it didn't do so well in the theaters.
Okay.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Paul Walker.
Mm-hmm.
So sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was one of those things, that's a movie I could see myself just, you know, actually electing to watch.
Right.
You know, and to get deeply involved in while we're having turkey dinner.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
But I picked a couple. Is that okay?
Yeah. Go right
okay,
ahead.
Cool.
Give me another one.
Cool. I have this one, man. You gotta promise that you won't judge.
No.
Okay, fair enough.
I think I've already prejudged, but yeah.
Okay. All right. This one is 1995's stellar movie, It Takes Two, starring the Olsen twins.
Oh boy.
Kirstie Alley and the famous Steve Guttenberg.
Wow.
Yeah.
How that didn't win an Oscar,
yeah.
I have no idea.
Well, I'll tell you, IMDb actually gives it a 5.8 out of 10, which is higher than Timeline. It's higher.
Wow.
It has 17,000 votes, so maybe not as many votes. We'll get
Yikes.
People to down it. But Metacritic, this surprises me. 45. 45.
Really? A 45?
On Metacritic, yeah.
Wow.
Huh. But anyways, it's kind of like this take on The Parent Trap. Do you remember like the older 50s, 60s version?
Yeah, with Haley Mills.
Yeah, I really loved that one. Like, I super loved
that one.
That's
a fun movie.
It is a fun movie, right? But this one here is kind of well, I guess not modern anymore because it was, you know, it's 1995, but sort of modern take on it. You know, these two girls are separated at birth and they come together at a summer camp and they bring together the famously in control of her emotions, Kirstie Alley, and the 1980s heartthrob, Steve Guttenberg.
Oh, God.
I don't know. I wasn't alive.
I don't really think he was ever a heartthrob.
Really? Wasn't he in that movie, though, with the guy with the mustache and the baby?
Three Men and a Baby?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
You mean with Tom Selleck?
Oh, yeah, Tom Selleck. Yeah. Oh, mustache guy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he's actually in this like cop drama that's going on currently. Mustache is still there.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I know. Anyways, fun fact, too, another one. I Googled how many movies, like just the phrase, how many movies have the Olsen twins been in? And the response was...
Too many?
No, close. The response was literally at least 17. Google said, and I quote, at least 17.
Who watches these?
I don't know. But who hasn't a movie that they're at least 17 starring in? I don't know. I don't get it.
They're probably all the same.
Well, yeah, basically. But anyways, I really enjoy it. It's one of those, like, really stupid movies that I could find myself watching just kind of, you know, maybe on the Lifetime channel, you know, eating some ice cream and then realizing, you know what, I'm an hour into this and I kind of want to keep watching it. It's kind of like a love story, too. And Kirstie Alley was, like, kind of funny in it. Yeah, it was before that movie she did with Tim Allen where they were the Quakers. Do you remember that movie?
Where they were the Quakers?
Yeah, so basically he's like a snooty guy, this is a Tim Allen movie. Pause. Tim Allen movie. Oh, this is my third one. I'm doing this one. I can't remember the name. Basically, Kirstie Alley and Tim Allen are on the verge of divorce. They're both like really wealthy and they work like in the mega buildings of New York City. And so they go on a vacation to try and save their marriage, but they end up in Quakerville. Where they have no power and no nothing, none of that stuff. And they have to blend in with the families there to survive, basically. They give them shelter and they teach them how to, you know, drive a carriage and all this fun stuff. It's really quite funny.
Wow, that sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But anyways, Kirstie Alley. I like her. But that was, yeah, it was one of these things where I kind of didn't want to admit it, but... You know, since we're friends and we're being truthful.
Way too much about you.
Yeah, I figured. We can just forget I said anything.
No, it's already recorded, so we can't do it.
Okay.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Let's see what you have. You probably have not as good of choices as these are amazing choices.
Oh, you're going to hate what I chose.
Oh, no.
I have a feeling.
You have a feeling?
I have a feeling.
Okay. All right. Hit me.
My pick.
Yep.
Is the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Wow, how could I hate that? I absolutely love...
No, but you hate the choice.
Oh.
I mean, you may love the movie, but you're probably like, why did he pick that?
Oh, well, yeah. Like, it's not a turkey at all, didn't it? Like, it's a cult movie.
It is a cult movie.
Yeah.
But there's a reason why it's a cult movie.
Why?
Well, it bombed when it first came out.
Really?
It did. It bombed when it first came out. Critics hated it.
But Tim Curry.
Tim Curry, yeah. So here's the thing about... Rocky Horror Picture Show. This is the gold standard of cult films. It's been around for 40 years now.
Wow.
Over 40 years. And playing, it's like the most, it has the record for being the most consistently running motion picture in theaters of all time.
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow, good to know.
So, but if you take a close look at it, it's pretty bad. It's a pretty bad movie. And I'll explain.
Okay.
So, it was an adaptation of a very popular British stage musical, mm-hmm. right? The Rocky Horror Show,
mm-hmm.
that was in itself a parody of B-movies, of B-horror movies.
So we're a parody of a parody.
Yeah, a film of a parody of a parody.
Okay,
so right. Basically it's like making a third generation dub of a video cassette.
What's
every time, yeah, never mind. But every time that you make a copy of a copy of a copy, it degrades.
No, don't say that.
And
it hurts my heart.
No. See, look. Okay, the music and the lyrics,
yes,
by Richard O'Brien, who is an idol of mine, are amazing. I love the music and the lyrics for the Rocky Horror Show,
mm-hmm.
and the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Curry is electric in this role.
Right.
This made his career.
Oh yes.
It really did.
Wait,
it was.
It didn't make his career.
No. That's, wait, what do you, what? No,
well,
yes,
okay.
It.
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
Oh, yeah.
No, but this was like his first real big starring role in anything.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
He was in the stage musical.
Okay.
Both in England and on Broadway. And then went on to make the film.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the movie itself just really isn't that well made.
Wow.
I mean, if you think about it, the direction is not very inspired. Long lulls between the musical numbers, and not much happens. There's no plot, really. It's, you know, kind of a confused mess. The ending is terrible. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So, you're thinking, oh, well, why do you hate this movie? I don't hate this movie.
Right.
But here's the thing. The reason why it has been a perennial favorite for the last 40 years is because at one of the screenings, when it first came out, somebody started yelling at the screen because of what was going on was so terrible. And then somebody else started doing it. And somebody else started doing it. And then he started bringing water guns and newspapers and rice and all that fun stuff. And it became this thing, this event. Not because the movie was so good, but because it really wasn't.
I see.
So that's where I'm getting. If you've ever tried to watch the Rocky Horror Picture Show by yourself with nobody else, I can't get through it. I would much rather listen to the soundtrack.
Yeah, I love the soundtrack.
Than watch the movie, because the movie just isn't really that good. I mean, it had great stars. It had Susan Sarandon and Barry Bostwick. Of course, Tim Curry. Meatloaf.
Meatloaf!
It was so good.
Yeah.
But the movie just was not that good in and of itself. And that's, you know, and I'll be honest with you. I went through my Rocky phase. I was in high school. I you know, did the whole thing, the audience participation thing. I went, you know, every Friday night for a few months to do that. And I had a great time. I right. absolutely loved it.
It was a social affair.
Yeah, a social yeah. affair. But I have to separate, when I'm doing this, I have to separate the movie from the event, right?
Yeah.
The event is what makes it.
Sure.
If you're going to try to watch this movie alone, it's just like, ugh.
You know,
I can't do it.
I guess I can understand that, actually, because I don't think I've ever watched it alone. True story. Mm-hmm. I actually went to a live one of these events. It was in Salem, Massachusetts, yeah. around Halloween. I think it was maybe the year that my husband and I got married, and I fell asleep. I'm not joking.
Wow.
I'm legitimately not joking. I fell asleep, and there's people yelling and screaming. I have no idea what happened. I woke up at the end, and we were all clapping.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go.
But the movie was good.
Yeah, I get you. But it's just one of those things where it became a thing because it wasn't that good.
But I think
people started talking back.
That's pretty spectacular, though. Something that is so bad spawns this entire cult movement.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. And the best cult movies are like that.
Yeah.
They are so bad, they're good.
Yeah, I can't. What's another one?
Well, there's like Plan 9 from Outer Space and Robot Monster, and there's all these B movies.
Home
that
Alone.
Are, yeah, I mean, that are just really, well.
That, maybe not that one.
Yeah, that's just like some violent mess. I mean, if you think about it, those two robbers would have been dead like 10 minutes
ago. I know. How did they get away with
all
that?
They just, ugh.
The Wet Bandits.
Yeah. I think the kid was just having a dream.
Yeah.
But in any event, it's just one of those things where there are movies that are so bad that they transcend their badness and become good because they're so bad.
I think that's pretty awesome.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They sort of rise above their intrinsic badness.
Take on this whole ether of something else.
Yeah, exactly. So they rise above that. They transcend it. And I think that's a great thing. I love movies like that. Movies that are terrible that I know they're terrible, but I love them because they're fun.
Right.
The worst thing a movie can be is boring to me.
Sure.
I can't deal with that.
Yeah.
If it's boring, ugh, I can't even be bothered.
Right.
But that segues into my next pick.
Oh, I'm excited.
Yes. This is a 1991 disaster piece called The Borrower.
The Borrowers?
No, not the one with about the little people.
Yeah, that was so cute. I love that.
That was cute.
Yeah.
The Borrower.
The Borrower.
Yes. So this is a movie that was so bad, it was made in 1988 and released in 1991. It sat on a shelf for 3 years because nobody wanted to release this movie. That's how bad this was. And it was made by a director named John McNaughton, who went on to do some interesting stuff. But he's probably best known for one of the best movies that I will never watch again, called Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. This movie is so disturbing and like nasty and mean-spirited and just really just you want to take a shower right afterwards.
Yeah.
But it's really well done.
Oh.
And it's like,
you got to give him credit for that.
You got to give him so much credit for making a movie this disturbing that is brilliant, but I never need to see it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
one and done.
Yeah. So when this movie came out, I was like, oh, it's the director of this. I'm going to go see this. It must be interesting. And it's like, oh, it's a sci-fi movie. That's great. I love sci-fi movies. I'm going to take a look at this. Oh. Yeah. So basic premise, and I'm not lying. So it starts off, there is this alien criminal, right? Mm-hmm. And he's going to be punished for his crimes. So as punishment, he is devolved into a human being.
It's like, thanks.
What a thanks shame. For that. What a yeah. trial.
Devolved into a human being. His people are like these insectoid type things or whatever. And sent to Earth as punishment to be a human.
He lives in Georgia.
Right.
I'm just kidding. What?
So, and he is basically told, you know, even though we've devolved you into a human, you need to really be careful because if your body is injured in any way, that's it. You're done. You know, you're unstable. You have to like, you know, be really, you can't be violent or you can't do, you know, this, that, and the other, because if you do, if you get injured, you're done.
Huh.
Right. So he goes down to Earth, but he cannot control his violent tendencies at all. So what happens is his, and like I said, I'm going to try to say this with a straight face, his head keeps exploding.
What?
Yeah. And hence the name of the movie, The Borrower. He has to borrow the heads of other people.
Oh.
So he starts tearing people's heads off and putting them on his own body. And somehow, and they never explain this, his body changes to match the body of the person that he just killed.
Of course, of course.
They never say why.
Continuity. You know,
I'm just like, oh, well, yeah. They couldn't afford that. Or some other weird explanation. He's absorbing the DNA or something. I don't know. But he basically rips, like really graphically, rips the heads off of people, puts them on his own head, and morphs into their body. And he's being chased by a police detective who is like, what is this? What's going on? What's happening? You know, like that kind of thing. Played by perennial 80s action female heroine, Ray Dawn Chom, who is in Commando. The Arnold Schwarzenegger movie Commando.
Mm.
So, but anyway, IMDb it. So, I mean, yeah, it's as good as it sounds.
Yeah,
it sounds. You can't go wrong with
pretty...
The Borrower.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, it really was just garbage.
I guess, can you really borrow something that you don't intend to give back?
Exactly. Even the title is a lie.
I am misled.
Hey, can I just borrow your head for a second, put it on my body, and become you?
Because I'll give it
Do
back
you mind?
Later.
I just, you know, I'll bring it back. I promise. Not like the rake I stole. It's different. But yeah, so it's really just this kind of... offbeat. I mean, it's fun to watch because it's so weird.
It makes no sense.
You know, it makes no sense at all. And after doing a little more research, the director said that the studio had re-edited it, recut it, changed it around, and then basically stuck it on a shelf until his other movie became popular, the Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer, got a theatrical release and actually did pretty well. They were like, oh, we've got this film by the same guy. Let's put it out.
Yeah.
And, oh, just terrible. But I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. So, with my two picks, Rocky Horror Picture Show is actually available for rental on Amazon Prime Video for $3.99.
Amazon Prime is a great service.
It is. I love it. Sponsor us, please. And The Borrower, amazingly enough, is available for rent on three different platforms.
What?
Vudu, Google Play, and YouTube for $2.99.
All right.
Now, on Thanksgiving, you have to rent The Borrower, but not after you ate.
Yeah, before.
Before. So that way, you won't eat as much.
Yeah.
Once you see people's heads getting ripped off and being replaced.
Oh.
But yeah, it's a weird little piece of 90s garbage that I just can't get enough of.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Those are good picks.
I mean, and there's like, and that's really just only scratching the surface
of
crap movies.
Oh, my goodness.
There's so many others.
Like every sequel to The Land Before Time?
Well, yeah, there's that too.
Rest in peace, Littlefoot's mom.
We'll have to do an entire show about that.
Oh, God. Do you have any tissues?
Oh, no. We'll finish it up with an American Tale.
Oh, no, Don Bluth, how dare you?
Yeah. All right, so I have, and I don't know if this is available. I think it might be on Netflix, but I'm not positive. I'm just throwing this out. Since you are a Michael Crichton fan.
Oh, yes.
And you know, you recognize the guy with the mustache from the other thing.
I'm on a roll here.
Yeah. That guy, Tom Selleck, is actually in a Michael Crichton movie.
Ooh.
And this is a movie that was not based on a book. It's a movie that Michael Crichton wrote and directed himself.
No kidding.
Yes. And it's called Runaway. And it is an 80s movie.
Uh-huh.
And it is also one of my favorites. So,
has some talking car, right?
No talking car.
Okay.
Basically what this is, Tom Selleck plays a cop.
Yes.
But he's like a techno cop. And this is set in the near future.
Oh, okay.
Where everybody's got like robots doing menial labor, right?
Yeah.
And if a robot goes bad and starts like freaking out and like going berserk, his job is to go in and disable it. So he's got like all these weapons and stuff that he uses to disable these rogue robots that are like, hurting people and stuff like that. So what happens is, not to give too much away, but there is a bad guy played by Gene Simmons from Kiss. Not kidding, makeup? Once again.
Any makeup?
No. He's out of makeup.
Mm.
And he's created these like evil spider robots. That crawl around and they basically inject you with acid to kill you.
Oh, nice.
It's like people are burning and their faces are all messed up. And Tom Selleck's character now has to stop the bad guy and his little evil spider robots.
Ugh.
And it's all so, like, it's total Michael Crichton.
Mm.
He is trying to figure out what's coming in the future,
because
he loves to do that sort of, you know, futurism kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so way off base.
Which is interesting. Funny. Yeah.
But it's a fun little movie. It's very 80s. I mean, it's supposed to be in the future, but everybody's got a crappy CRT monitor. And the computers are massive. And it's just the way that they, you know, the language they use is like, really? I don't know. But yeah, if you can find the movie Runaway by Michael Crichton, check it out, because it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I will. I love Tom Selleck. Now that I know his name, what
Mustache
his name
guy.
Is? Mustache guy. Yeah, like him.
Yeah.
And definitely love Michael Crichton, so I'll give it a go.
I highly recommend it.
You know, I wonder if these people who write futuristic dramas and television shows and movies, if they like know that the majority of them aren't going to age that well.
You know what? I think the better ones consult like futurists, and like, because that's a thing, being a futurist. It's like, well, you know, okay, so let's take what's happening right now and kind of go forward 20 years. What would that, you know, what's the natural extension of that?
Right.
What would that be? And that's kind of a hard thing to predict.
Hmm.
But some, you know, some do it better than others. I mean, you look at like Minority Report and you're already seeing like the kind of heads up displays and things.
True.
You know, so there are some that do a better job than others, or some that do a worse job, like Sandra Bullock in The Net, which is like an early internet movie, which was terrible.
Yeah.
That's probably a future show, like really bad cyber movies, like cyber tech movies that are just like awful.
I've got three already.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I've probably got a dozen.
Oh.
So that'll be another show. But next time, oh boy.
Oh.
It's Christmas. Yeah.
You know what that means.
That means we're going to talk Christmas stuff. Christmas movies, Christmas specials. We're going to make you sick.
12 Days of Christmas?
Is maybe it 12? 12 days. It's 12 days of Christmas, yeah.
Okay. I get confused with Halloween, because it's 12 days of Halloween, or is it 6 days of Halloween? Whatever ABC decides, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Christmas shows, Christmas movies.
Christmas specials.
Oh.
I mean.
I've got one right away. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
All right, hold on.
Oh, okay.
Save it for the show.
Yeah. I'm so excited. Yeah. I can't wait to tell them.
Oh, we're gonna have some fun with this.
Oh, yes.
So Christmas time is on the way.
No.
All right, so that will do it for this, our third episode in our planned trilogy of shows. but you know what? We'll probably do more, thank goodness. So on behalf of my co-host, Manda Jennings, and myself, from Bathysphere 1, deep in the Mariana Trench, I'm going to say it. You want to say it with me?
Yes.
Yes.
Good end night.
Transmission.
Oh, and transmission.
Oh, we rehearsed this.
Oh, damn.
Special thanks to Ryan Blaney and Jay Colantoni for our incredible theme music. Don't forget to check out our website, thedeepdivepodcast.podbean.com, where you can find links to subscribe to us on iTunes, as well as our Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages.
One thing only, please.
The Deep Dive Podcast is a production of Automaton Media.